Blog Talk Radio.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you, and you, and you, and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and a many, many more to come.
Birthday and welcome to A Book Is Born on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created, owned, and operated by Beverly Black, yours truly. We invite you to listen in online at blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul or call in 347-539-5285. As your host of A Book Is Born, I am also the author and compiler of several anthologies. My last book is an 8-year voyage into the memoirs of a period of time that I was at a low point in my life. That is A Wretch Like Me. From Crack Addict to Change Agent by Beverly A. Black. That is on Amazon, or you can contact Gumbo for the Soul International at gmail.com to request your autographed copy. I am also the compiler of the Gumbo for the Soul Anthologies book series. That is where my writing journey began. The purpose of this show, A Book Is Born, is to speak to special guests and to have a dialogue about the writing process and the publishing process that you may not otherwise have in a conversation with a publisher or a consultant or the service providers that go into putting a book together. And so the purpose of this show is to be able to delve into not just that aspect, but to also find out what motivates our authors. Today's guest, I am so pleased to have on our show, is Mr. Alan T. Black. He is a 2-time best-selling author. He's going to discuss his literary journey and give us the 411 on where to grab a copy of his new page turner. We are anticipating a nationwide lineup of seasoned authors along with other generous sponsors that have teamed up to bring rife content and relatable dialogue for your listening and reading pleasure. So grab a good seat and prepare to feast as we dish out this serving of gumbo. You won't leave hungry. And with that, I welcome my guest, Mr. Alan T. Black. Hello, Alan. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Beverly. Thank you very much for the honor of being on the program tonight. I'm deeply honored.
I am honored, and you have been on the show and have sponsored Tribe Family Channel before, and so it is our honor, and we're grateful to you and others that keep us on the air. As a publisher of health and wellness publications, my entity is a not-for-profit, and so people like yourself making your appearances and coming back just really helps us to reach out and be able to be on the air. And so for that, I thank you, and I'm excited to learn what motivated you to become an author.
You know, it's been an amazing journey that I was kind of, during the course of this week, thinking back to where this really all began. I think it in earnest began probably when I was in college, because I'm now going to be turning 65 in about 2 months, the end of April. And it really began probably in the fall of 75. I was in college studying for my undergraduate degree in business administration. But in the process, Beverly, of growing up, I guess I had always been drawn to writing in some shape, form, or fashion, primarily because of music. My other side of my writing talent is in lyrics. I've been a song lyricist probably since about 75 locally, and I've done a few projects with some people across the country in terms of song lyrics. That started in 75 when I was in college. I think I was about a sophomore or junior at that time. I really can't remember that far back right now, but I had listened to song lyrics by the time I was growing up. The Motowns, the Aretha Franklins, people like that coming up in the 60s and the early 70s. And I've always been drawn to the storyline that was written and was created for the song, which then lyrically is then married to the music, and then that's when you have a finished product. So I started that back in 75. I can remember I was very new to this. I had no idea what I was doing. And I actually wound up going to see my professor, who was sort of my mentor at that time, share with him some song lyrics that I had come up with. And he said, you know, you really have a talent here. You need to keep moving forward and keep trying to develop this. And really from that day forward in the fall of 75, that's where it really all began. I continued to write lyrically throughout the 70s, the 80s, all the way up through the mid-2000s, working on different projects locally in different genres of music. So that's really where the basis of it really was established. But it's an amazing thing to think that that's where it began, and to see where now it has crossed over to being a Christian writer, which really began in earnest probably, I would say, in 2015. I had retired from my job.
Okay.
That's where I crossed over the bridge. And mm-hmm. I can tell you listeners, it was really a very unique experience because I had retired from the university where I worked at for my career. And I'm just working part-time. I'm still working part-time at this place where I just do hotel reservations just to kind of keep busy. But I'm there in the morning, barely from like 6 to about 10 or so, and really from 6 to 8, it's so slow, I didn't really have anything to do, and the Lord just began to move on my heart to just kind of start putting together thoughts and everything that He would give me, and I just kind of started, I would call freestyling. I just started writing what wound up being short Christian, I guess you would call them inspirational essays, and it scared me because after I finished the first three, I'll never forget, I was sort of like, what is going on? Because this is not my writing background. I'm a lyricist, but to see that I am transitioning into a whole new arena, it was kind of scary. I wound up actually talking.
The change,
I mean, that was a big change for me. I had to talk to a friend of mine who's a minister, and I said, dude, what's going on here? Because I've never done this before. I don't know what's going on. And it got even more frightening because I would actually write these short essays. And then after I'd finished up one, Beverly, I would go back and maybe say 10 minutes later, and I could not remember what I had just written. And it might be 700-800 words. I could not remember what I'd written. And I didn't know what to do. He told me, he said, well, God is speaking to you, and if you are just willing to be an open vessel, then He will pour into you what it is that He wants you to do. And from 2015, we just kept moving forward. I remember toward the end of 2015 or so, a former student of mine, I let her read a couple of the essays. She was like, well, this is really nice. I really like it. It's really inspiring, and it really makes you think and reflect. So she said, why don't you write for a Christian blog? And I kind of looked at her, Beverly, and I thought, well, I never thought about writing for a Christian blog because I just wasn't something I really entertained as an idea. So I wound up toward the end of 2015 sending out some of these essays to some blogs across the world. And I think all of them rejected me except one. I think the very last one I sent a blog in Singapore called Christian Blessings. And I sent it, and the editor read it, and the next day she emailed me back and said, hey, I like what you're doing. I like how you have written this, so I want you to write for my blog. And at first she said she wanted me to write every week. And I was like, no, that's not happening, because I this is a whole new no. So I asked, I told her, let's negotiate this. I said, how about once a month? And she said, okay, I can live with that. So she gave me a challenge for January 2016. I'll never forget, Beverly. She said, I need you to write something talking about the beginning of a new year and what it means to everybody and how everybody should approach it. And she said it had to be 200 words. And Beverly, I almost passed out. I thought, I can't.
It had
no
to be how many words?
300 words. And it might as well have been 30,000, because I thought, what am I going to write 300 words about? I was like, no way.
300 words ain't nothing. Oh, my goodness.
I was laughing. I thought, oh, man, this will never happen. And so probably around the second week or so in December 2015, I'll never forget, I was driving to my part-time job. I heard them kind of talking about that song that we hear on December 31st, Auld Lang Syne. And there were some lyrics in there, again, I'm being drawn back to my lyrical side, where it talks about old acquaintances. And that's what kind of triggered a thought for me. Well, what I'm going to write about for January 2016 for this Christian blog in Singapore, I'm going to write about old acquaintances. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know really what to write about. And he began to give me some ideas and some viewpoints about what acquaintances would be. And this is one of the essays in my first book, Here I Am, Lord. And the old acquaintances that I talked about was, as you go into a new year, we all make those New Year's resolutions, or we make promises or set goals. So what about doing something different? What about saying that you're going to get rid of some old acquaintances that have been hanging around that you need to get rid of? Maybe it's procrastination. Or maybe, like in my case, it's a fear of, say, stepping out on faith. What are you going to do to get rid of those old acquaintances? And so that's how I kind of tailored that particular essay for my Christian blog.
Wow.
And I thought it spoke to
everybody. Let me just come in, because one of our questions here was going to be, how do you come up with ideas for your books? And I'm going to have you give us the titles of your books and how many books you have published in just a second. But you're kind of answering some of the questions where you're getting the inspiration, God is feeding you, and you're crossing over, going from a lyricist to writing these blogs and these essays coming to you. And so going back to at the hotel, 6 to 8, it's slow in the morning because the day is just starting and you have this time on your hands. And so now God has your attention in a way that he didn't have before, because you're retired and things have slowed down. So you've got this time. And how are these ideas coming to you? Because, like you said, you couldn't remember what you had written, so you know that's God working through you. Because I was just singing a song the other day, and I swear I'm not the singer in the family. You don't even want me to hold a note. And I held that note, and I tried to recall what it was that I was singing, and I cannot recall it till this day, but I actually held that note. And that was an experience where I realized that audibly you can, not just audibly, but in an action, through an action, God can literally use you. And so when he is using you in the morning, he has your attention, and you have availed yourself as a willing vessel where do you begin? How does it start to flow? Because that already describes the question, how do you come up with your ideas for, you know, your writings? But how does it actually, what happens when you put that pen to paper? What are those first thoughts?
Just to give you an example, I remember from, and this is kind of hard to describe, but the first book, one of my short essays is one of those old classic songs that we all know, This Little Light of Mine. And mm-hmm. I remember Beverly hearing the song, and I heard it on a Sunday morning, and it just stayed with me, the lyrics and what it was saying. And about a week later, I was sitting at my computer at work, and it was about 6:10 in the morning. And it's like the Lord was saying to me, this is what you're going to write about, and this is what you're going to share. And I talked about this little light of mine. And the Lord just began to give me some ideas and some concepts on what to write about. And I just kind of let it flow from there. It's kind of hard to articulate in a manner mm-hmm. which sounds logical, which sounds like it goes from A, then B, then C. But I think it's important that we keep in mind that when God has commissioned you to do something, you're going to do it in accordance to how he's calling you to move forward. And quite frankly, it may go A and then it go made Z. It may go 3. It may go 10 to the 12th power. I mean, and that's just how he is, because he's not bound by the laws and the guidelines that we have in terms of our living concept. So mm-hmm. with that particular one, I just started writing and just kind of start vamping on some of the lyrics, like, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. And one thing I mentioned in the essay was, okay, how are you going to let your light shine? Are you mm-hmm. just going to shine on your day of worship? Are we not called to let your light shine every day? And I also talked about, it says in there lyrically, all in my home, I'm going to let it shine. And I focused on that in my essay because I said, truthfully, the first place that our light has to shine is in our home. Because mm-hmm. it has to shine in our home, because we're going to be an example to our children, to siblings, to whoever it is that we are there with on a daily basis, because they're going to see the real us on a daily basis. We all put on some kind of mask when we go out in public, but when you're in the home, you have to be the real you. But how are you going to let that light shine within your home? And then do you take that out daily? And as a parent,
absolutely,
how is that light
shining?
How is it being shown on your children? What is it that they're internalizing? Because they're going to internalize what they see and what they interact with. That's what they're going to take out into the world. And so that's where God just kind of had me going with that particular one. And that was uh-huh. really, to be totally honest with you, that represented a struggle between God and myself, because I could just feel him nudging me for like a week before I wrote it, saying, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. And in my stubbornness, I was like, Lord, I'm not really feeling that, so I don't want to do that. And I'm just being totally
all in battle.
I was in battle. Now, you would think at this point, at 65, I'd learned, you're not going to win these battles, so why not just go with it and just do what you're being told? But I was being hard-headed and being stubborn. And finally that morning, it was just to the point I said, okay, God, I'm ready. Let's do this.
I give up. I'm tired of getting whooped.
I ran up the flag. I said, I give up. I need to go back to being a willing vessel, and wrote it. And it probably took me about 20 minutes to finish it. And the same situation when I finished it, came back to it about 20 minutes later. I literally could not recall what I was writing. But I understand now that what happens is when you are being a willing vessel. God will lead you. You just surrender to him because the Holy Spirit will speak through you, and he'll speak even in spite of you. And that's really what happened with that particular essay.
Awesome, awesome. Fabulous answer and response, too. It just really allows our listeners to know and get the essence of where this true writing is coming from and how God is using you, and it's just flowing through. And I can relate to being in a fight with God and you just, you know, not being moved by the promptings, and it's like, okay, and then stuff starts going wrong, and you know why it's going wrong, because you're not over here doing what God has been prompting you to do, and you're over here in this battle trying to get stuff straight, and then you'd be like, okay, well, I give up. Let me give up over here where God wants me so that this will straighten out over there. And I know how that can be. And it's like, oh, Lord, that's you. I can't fight you. So now, how many books have you published? Give us the titles and a brief description, if you will.
The first book that I wrote came out in the summer of 2017. And the title, I feel, is so appropriate. It's right on time. The title is called Here I Am, Lord. And the essence of that title, Beverly, really means that when I got to the point where I finished up the essays and then started that process of moving into the realm of how to get it published, the title was a perfect fit, Here I Am, Lord, because in the process of writing the first book, it finally got to the point where I just said, okay, here I am, Lord. What is it that mm-hmm. you need me to do? What do you require of me? So that's why that book is entitled Here I Am, Lord. It came out in the summer of 2017. I'll never forget the journey just to get to the point where I got it published. That was just a walk of faith, because you're talking about somebody who has now put together a manuscript toward the end of 2016. I'm going into 2017. I have no clue how to do this. And it's amazing.
Well, then that brings us to this next question. What were some of the challenges you faced as a writer? Are there things you would do differently?
The things that I would do different would be kind of tuning out some of the naysayers. I'll never forget the very first person that I talked to was through a contact at my job who had published his own book. And boy, Beverly, I tell you, he was so negative, and he just made it sound like this was just a worthless venture and I was going to hit a dead end and there was just no point. Because he said he did it his way, and he wound up having a garage full of books. And so I talked to him for about 20 minutes, and I got off the phone, and I thought, you know, that really didn't help me at all. And I said, well, I thought about what he said, but I said to myself, you know, he's saying one thing, but I said, you know, God, you didn't bring me to the point of having this manuscript done and just kind of leave me hanging. I would not accept that. And so what I did was, go ahead.
Well, you know, and you just, thank you for allowing me to interject. You just hit the nail on the nose about not listening to naysayers. Everyone cannot see your vision that God gave to you specifically. And when we rely on someone else's inability to see what God has given us the ability of seeing, we're going to run into that doubt, that discouragement. They can't see it. So if they can't see it, they have no way of encouraging you. And so you were going to continue on, but I just wanted to you know, drive your point home that, no, you cannot listen to naysayers or someone else's experience. So for those of you that are just tuning in, you are listening to myself, Beverly Black, and my guest, Mr. Alan T. Black, no relation, on A Book Is Born by Gumbo for the Soul International, discussing his literary journey. And yes, you do want to follow, you know, there's an innate inner compass that you, you know, have to let guide you. So go ahead and continue on.
So what happened after that, Beverly, excuse me, after I had talked to him, I said, well, okay, he's got his experience, and that wasn't the best experience. But I said, you know what, God? You didn't bring me this far just to leave me and just to leave me hanging. Yes, I'd already completed 1 year writing for the Christian blog in Singapore. But I said, you know, I've got enough to kind of put together in a book, so how am I going to do this? And it's amazing how God will place something before you at one time earlier, and then it almost comes back around later when you need it the most. Saying that to say this, there is a community online called Fiverr, F-I-V-E-R-R. Now, I had joined Fiverr probably towards the end of 2016, kind of just looked around in there, really was looking for things musically in terms of collaboration, didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. But after I had this conversation with this gentleman in January of 2017, you know, I felt this prompting in my spirit, and I know now it was the Lord saying, go back in there and start looking around. So I went back in Fiverr toward the end of January of 2017, and they, like most websites, have like a search bar. And so I just put in there, say, publishing, editing for books. Now, mind you, when I say this, I had no clue what I was doing. We were just literally talking about somebody just walking on faith, not knowing what to do, not knowing where they're stepping, but I just said, I've got to keep moving forward. So I spent some time in there just kind of looking around, searching around, and I'll never forget that first Friday in 2017 in February. I said, okay, I'm going to send out a request through Fiverr and see if I can find someone who knows how to edit my manuscript and format it for Amazon, because I was doing self-publishing. That's the route that I went. So I sent out this request. I said, hey, this is what I'm looking for. Can somebody help me? I'm looking forward to hearing back from you. So I sent this out on that Friday night, the first Friday night in February 2017. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so I sent this out. It's February 2017. So hopefully by maybe November or December of 2017, I'll hear from maybe one or two people and they'll say, yeah, we'll help you out. So I conditioned my mind to say I'm going to need to wait about 8-9 months to hear from somebody. So the next day rolls around. It's Saturday. I do what all of us do pretty much on Saturday. You're running errands, going to the store, doing those kind of things. Everybody does that. Came back home that Saturday afternoon, and I said, well, let me just open my Fiverr account just in case maybe somebody read my request. And it was like the window of heaven opened up. And, you know, scripture talks about God will pour out something that you cannot receive. I opened up my Fiverr.
So many responses.
35 people. 35.
Wow. Look at God giving you
and
options.
And that's my response was like, wow. And I had to step back from the computer. I was like, okay, God, I didn't need all of these responses. So what am I going to do next? So I said, okay, I need to kind of go through these, kind of read about each person, kind of qualify them, get a sense of who I think would be best, And because of technology, I wound up selecting a lady who's in South Africa. And so
she and I
in South Africa. Now, I'm never going to get to South Africa, more than likely. But that's the beauty of technology, because through Fiverr, she and I connected. I wound up sending her electronically all my essays and everything. She went through them. She got them edited and everything, because I'm a believer that you cannot edit your own material that you write, because when you write one thing, but if you try to edit, you're going to still see the same thing, or you might start trying to change everything. That's just my personal experience. But I sent my manuscript to her, Beverly. She took some time to go back, edit it. She got it all formatted and everything for Amazon. And the cost for doing it was very reasonable, because what Fiverr represents, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of it, it represents a community or a platform of people from all across the world who have talents and services that they're reaching out to other people with to work with, and you can get it done at a really good price. So that's the direction that I went in terms of going with Fiverr and working with this lady in South Africa. So she got everything formatted and everything, got it approved by Amazon for self-publishing. And I'll never forget, it came out officially in May of 2017. I sat here again on a Friday night, and I pulled up the Amazon page and looked at it, and there was my book, Here I Am, Lord. And
Wow, hallelujah.
It was hallelujah. And at the same time, I just sat there, Beverly, and I just stared at it for about 5 minutes, because I could not believe that I had published a book. It blew me out of the water. I'm like, wow.
Well, you know, it's like having a child. And for our listeners, you are tuned into A Book Is Born, and this is Mr. Alan T. Black describing his literary journey. And that is so exciting. Congratulations to you, because it is truly the manifestation of a seed having been planted, like you were saying earlier, you know, coming back to something that you need that God had put in you before. And these are words and essays and stories and words of motivation that pour through you, but you were destined to do this. You were atoned to do this. And it did start with the planting of the seeds of your writing lyrics. And like you were saying earlier, you didn't know what was happening. And it was that change, that shift. And sometimes it can be scary, but then when you are that open vessel and you let God flow through you, and then when he brings it to that point of manifestation where it is like tangible, this is for real, and you're looking at your book on Amazon, I bet you could have cried.
I did start crying, and I cried because I thought about the journey beginning in college. I thought about the fact that I would hope that my parents would be proud, because they both passed away in 2011 and 2012. I also thought about, and so I was hoping that they would be proud. And I also kind of laughed, because when I told my college roommate about it, he was like, well, I've been waiting for you to write a book. What took so long? And I was shocked that he said that. He said, well, everybody knew you'd be writing a book someday. We're just waiting on you to figure it out. And I was so shocked. I thought, well, how come you didn't say anything? And he said, well, we figured you'd get around to it sooner or later. So other people were saying, well, yeah, we knew you'd write a book. But in my mind, that was never my goal. And so if someone asked me, did I have aspirations to be a Christian author, I can honestly tell them no. It never entered my mind. Never.
But see how other people can see something in you that you don't see in yourself. Now, speaking of the people, how important do you think it is to engage your readers as this published author and self-published author at that? So now you have to entertain not just the aspects of writing and the context of putting it all together, finding phenomenal people through Fiverr that you can connect with other creatives that are looking to help other creatives, you know, bring their works to fruition. So how important do you think it is now to be a writer and a publisher, the aspects of marketing and your style of writing, and that is going to kind of play into that. So we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to come right back to A Book Is Born right after this, and you can answer for our listeners and for my knowledge on how do you engage your readers. This is A Book Is Born by Gumbo for the Soul on Tribe Family Channel. I'm your host, Beverly Black, and I'm the creator of Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly. My guest, Mr. Alan T. Black. He is a 2-time best-selling author, and we will be right back after this.
I know building a website can be intimidating, but you need a place where your audience can connect with you. Instead of fighting with technology, try the easiest, most flexible website builder available. With templates for all types of websites, ranging from landing pages to e-commerce, Urban Book Editor's platform makes creating an author website quick and easy. Just add a section, upload your photos and videos, type your text, and you're in business. It couldn't be easier. And if you sign up for an annual plan, you can get 10% off the first year. Just use discount code FIRSTYEAR. That's 1-STYEAR. The number 1-STYEAR in all caps. Take advantage of the 14-day free trial. No credit card is needed. Visit urbanbookeditor.com and select Create your author website from the menu bar at the top of the page. No more struggling with technology. No more paying a small fortune to developers. Create beautiful websites without learning to code. Spend more time writing and less time worrying about your website. Just go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create your author website. You'll see how easy it is to build a great website to showcase your work. Go to urbanbookeditor.com and select Create Your Author Website today.
Welcome back to A Book Is Born. I am your host, Beverly Black, on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. My guest is 2-time best-selling author, Mr. Alan T. Black. No relation, but however, this conversation, you would think we have known each other for a long time. I am just enjoying this conversation and how you allow God to work through your life and how you are able to convey it. As a publisher and a self-published author, how important do you think it is to engage your readers? Because now you're looking at all aspects of the publishing journey, the cover, the feel, the look, just marketing in general, and of course the context of the meat of the book. So how important is it to engage your readers in that area?
That's major, because one thing that you kind of transition into when you are now writing and you become an author is the fact that you have to treat this and do so with the spirit of excellence. So you do so in terms of how are you writing, how are you expressing or conveying the thoughts that perhaps the Lord is giving you, And you want to do it, at least in my experience, Beverly, in a manner where it's relatable to your reader. And so they feel like they can identify with what you're doing and what you're saying. Both books in terms of the content, as far as what it is that I have put in the book or the Lord's had me to put in the book, it's what most people have said to me when they read it. They said it's very readable, it's relatable, and it makes them just stop and think. And they said it's good for just everyday reflections.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you ever experience not feeling like writing, but you know that you have to get the work done because it's ministry now, and you have deadlines to meet, and it's also publishing where, like you said, as a writer, we don't want to write and edit because we can put words there that aren't there. We can think the, but the doesn't necessarily appear on that page in that sentence. And you always need someone to come back over your work and do copy editing or grammatical edits. But you never want to write and edit at the same time yourself, or, like you said, or you're doing one or the other. You're editing or you're continuing to write. And as a publisher myself and a consultant in this area, I can always tell when any of my clients are in one mode or another, you know. And so what are some of the methods that you rely upon, say, if you are faced with a production deadline, but you just don't feel like writing or something's not flowing? How do you get back into that flow? We know that working in the spirit and allowing God to use you is, you know, part of what inspires you to write. But then there's the business aspect of it when it's handed off to other people, and then you've got production deadlines, and now it's, you know, turned into, you know, the act of a ministry that's bringing a product out of it.
You know, what I wind up doing is, and I've learned this through the writing for both books, everybody is going to hit a point where you might run into a lull. And what I have learned, Beverly, and I'm sure your readers will learn this as well as they are writing, and it sounds very simplistic, but it's hard to commit to, and that is purely and simply don't press. Don't press and don't force yourself to keep going if it's not flowing, because sometimes what you may need to do is to just step back, take a breather, and just trust that it's going to come around. Because when it comes around later, it's going to come back in its natural flow. So you don't want to necessarily get there and just force it just to say that you've completed it. Because if you do so, you're going to compromise the integrity and the impact of what it is that you were really trying to set out to do to begin with. That would be my initial, as far as that's concerned. And then the other thing, too, is when you are writing, it's important, I think, as you're going through the whole process and you're putting it all together, stay with what it is that you're strong with. If you know that's the writing side of it, then just let that flow. One thing I've learned throughout this process in terms of getting both books published is stay with my strength. And if I know a certain area is not where I'm strong, then I need to be willing to say, got to put my ego aside, Beverly, and say, I need to reach out to somebody who knows how to do B or C, because I know that I can do A, but B and C, that's not my thing. And if I get into B and C, all I'm going to do is just mess it up. I'm just being real.
Well, you know, and I can appreciate that, because that is the smart thing to do is to do what you're good at doing, and you can't do everything. I mean, there no one can do everything, and you do have to allow for the ego, rest the ego, and let people come in that are team players that can carry the other, you know, play. That can do B, C, and D, that can bring, you know, the goal, the ball over the goal line. And so I can appreciate that you know how to allow your flow to flow. If you do feel like there's a writer's block or it's not coming to you, to step back and to just allow it to, you know, come back. And it's like you say, in its natural flow, because you do want the organic work. You yes. don't want something that you had to sit there and, oh, okay, I'm going to dream this up. You let everything else flow. But now, because of pressing time, you know, deadlines or whatever, not allowing the process to continue to flow. And a lot of times I will give pause to a project to give one of my clients time to just let it kind of marinate. And because if you make all of the decisions, you know, say in that season, you don't get the opportunity of allowing something to develop and other ideas come into play. And I'll give you, for instance, I have a client who is about to publish a book, and the original book cover has now become the logo. And then now that brought forth two things, a logo, a phrase for the logo, and a whole different piece of art for the actual book cover. And so that is allowing something, even though it's, you know, several steps, but it's still several steps that were taking in not haste, but allowing something to develop. And so I, too, agree with you about just letting something come in its natural flow. Now, speaking of letting things come in its natural flow, do you have any events coming up?
Well, right now, what I have been doing a lot is the marketing in terms of, like, the radio interviews. I've been so blessed to have two or three lined up. I've got two more lined up this month. I'm looking at doing another book signing probably sometime, maybe March, because February is going by so fast, I just can't believe it. And mm-hmm. then also, the Lord really has placed on my heart something related to being an author, but it's in a different vein, and I'll share this with your listeners. Mm-hmm. As I have come to the point where I have now been blessed to say I've got two books out there on Amazon, the Lord put it on my heart to say, okay, now, what is it that you're going to do to try to encourage others who want to be an author? So mm-hmm. some of my colleagues here in Omaha, here in Nebraska, we have discussed and we're working on, actually in spring, early summer, we're looking at putting together a workshop where we can get some of our current authors here in our city together and then have the opportunity to invite other people from around the area who want to be an author, but they don't know the process of how to get started, or they're afraid to get started. So we're excited about that, Beverly, because at least my mindset, as the Lord put it on my heart, is someone – and several someone's have helped me to get to the point where I can say I've got two books out there. It didn't happen because of Alan. It happened because of the contributions of other people who were there for me, who helped me, and who pushed me along. So in my spirit, it's important for me to say, now, if I'm in a position where I can give back and I can encourage someone else and maybe show them what I've done, then I feel like that's an obligation on my part to fulfill. Because if it's been given to you, and you've been blessed to do something like write a book, if you're in a position to give back and show others how they might be able to do it, at least for me, that's what it's all about, because I've had people ask me, well, how did you do it, and what do I do, and I'm afraid, and I got to thinking, you know, if I did it and started at the age of, 62, then it just goes to show that God is no respecter of person or time, and so if he gave it to me to do, and I can turn around and help somebody else, then I'm commissioned to do so. So I'm excited about the workshop we're going to do sometime this summer, just to have the opportunity to have individuals meet with us and say, how did you do it? What can you show me? What can you share with me? Because I'm that kind of person that I'm willing to share what I did to get from A to Z. And I'm not saying that the path that I followed is the only path, but if it's a path that's going to encourage somebody else to get out there and step out on faith, then that's what I need to do. They'll get out there and
Amen.
They'll see what's going to happen. And if it happened for me, it can happen for them. No question about it.
Amen to that. And, you know, as a publisher, one of my mantras is everyone has a story to tell. Who will you trust to tell yours? And so you really, you know, want to encourage other people that this is something that I once did not know how to do. And I stepped out on faith, and we all have a story. You have a story. You have a story. Everyone has a story. And you can do this too. You can take one step at a time like I did, but you get the benefit of, you know, some of the firsthand knowledge that others gathered here will be bringing, that it's almost like helping people avoid the mistakes that you made by being able to say, here, I can hold your hand through this process. And that's what I do, is I consult with people and I hold their hands through the process. And the idea is that they would know how to go from A to Z with the publishing journey on their own when it comes to books 2, 3 and down the road. And so I salute you and others that are bringing forth the workshops and the knowledge and just helping people with the encouragement that they too can take the journey and write their story. Now, before we go, we do want to get a couple of more things from you, but we're coming up to the top of the hour. I do want to have you shout out the second title of your book and give us that description. And then also, where can our readers reach you, website, social media? So we have take another 5 minutes, if you will, and let us know about your second title and how that came about.
The second book is called In the Spirit Intended. The purpose of the title is twofold. As I'm sharing what I consider to be part two of the inspirational essays, I do so with the intent that what I'm sharing with my readers, I'm doing so that it's in the spirit intended to hopefully cause you to pause, think, and reflect. Also, what I'm sharing is not doctrinal. It's not about, say, denominations, anything like that. I don't profess to be a bishop or a pastor or an apostle or anything like that. I'm just sharing with you, thus says the Lord, and I'm doing so as an average person in the spirit intended. So that was the motivation for the title for the second book. That one actually made the bestseller list this past July in 2019.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Yay.
And I still just shake my head. I'm like, how did a kid from the project get to the point of being a best-selling author? It's nothing but God. That's all it is, Beverly. That's all it is.
It is God, and it is part of, you know, the journey that had already been planned out for you. And so you're walking in it and availing your talent, your insight, your light, and he is using you. And he's using you in a phenomenal way. And I like the titles of your book, and I like how they relate to you. It's not where you, like you said, you're not a pastor or preacher, or, you know, and your books aren't preachy, but
no.
Allowing God to use you so that, you know, thus saith the Lord, it's like God can use anyone to bring a message forth. And if your life and your words can be of inspiration to someone, then why hold back when you know that God is prompting you? And so ultimately you do, wind up in a struggle. If God is pushing you and prompting you to use you, and you're, you know, resisting, and then finally you give up and say, okay, you know, I will do it. Because once a pastor told me, he said, if I didn't finish my writings and my songs, that God would choose someone else. And I was like, oh, Lord, I surely don't want God to choose someone else to do what he's given me to do, you know. And so, but I started writing at a young age, and my brother and I was just talking to a gentleman the other day whose work I edited. He's in film, but as you, I started with lyrics as well. For the bulk of my writing, I began with my brother listening to, as a child, listening to commercials and the jingles. And then in high school, I took radio broadcasting, not knowing that radio would be in my future, and I had to write two commercials.
Wow, good God.
I know, look, I had to write two commercials in high school. And then, you know, they had to be on the 60-second mark, and I loved it. And then in high school, I wrote a short story. And then later, I would begin writing just different, you know, poems and quotes. And then eventually essays, you know, life experiences that are in Gumbo for the Soul series anthologies. Now, I really want to thank you for being on A Book Is Born. Where can our readers reach you? Do you have your website and any social media platforms?
My website is alantblack.com. That's A-L-A-N-T-B-L-A-C-K. Both books are on Amazon under Alan T. Black. I am on Facebook. Now, I have to apologize to your readers, because now the social media stuff, that's the stuff I'm still trying to learn. I have an advisor here. She is so patient with me, because she knows my middle name is Jurassic when it comes to this stuff. So I'm just keeping it real. I'm learning the Facebook. Last week she said, you need to get on Instagram. So I got on there. I have no clue what I'm doing, but I'm saying, okay, if you just teach me a little bit at a time. I'm very teachable, because I recognize, you know what, this is not my strength, but I'm willing to learn. So if the listeners go to the Amazon, they'll get the information on the book. I ask them, please don't beat me up for my social media stuff, because like I said, I'll be 65 in 2 months, and so I come from the era of 45 that you bought at
the record shop.
Yeah, the record shop. I come from the 8-track era.
I like that,
so,
too.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So when you talk about social media and the Instagram and the Facebook, and I think it's called the Snapchat or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
My
yes, all of that.
I have no clue, but I'm willing to learn. But yeah, on Amazon,
well,
both books are doing, and I'll keep trying. That's all I can tell you.
Well, as long as they can reach you at alantblack.com and on Amazon, that will work. It has been fun. It has been a pleasure. And I want to really thank you for being my guest and for helping to sponsor Tribe Family Channel, making it possible for us to be on the air. So thank you so much once again for your support and for conveying to our readers, or your readers and our listeners, your literary journey is fascinating. And don't be a stranger. You're always welcome back on Tribe Family Channel, okay?
Thank you, Beverly. It's such an honor. I really consider it my great pleasure, and I cannot thank you enough for this opportunity to share my journey. And I hope it inspires somebody else that they can do this just as well, because with God, all things are possible.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, thank you once again. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes A Book Is Born by Gumbo for the Soul on Tribe Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand created, owned, and operated by yours truly, Beverly Black. You can connect with me on GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. Our forthcoming book, Gumbo for the Soul, Women of Honor, will be dropping in May. You still have time to submit your entry, so go to GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. Dave Chappelle's mother has written the foreword. Her name is Dr. Yvonne Cion. And then we also have Men of Honor, and we have Suicide is Not the Answer. So please convey your stories to us. We accept poetry, essays, and prose. GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. God bless and good evening.
Happy birthday. Yeah. We want to dedicate this song to everyone who has a birthday today. And that means you and you and you and you. Because having a birthday is a special occasion. And we hope you have a happy celebration and many, many more to come.